I'm glad to be with you, glad that you're here, glad that we can be worshiping together on this special Sunday. My name is Will Moyer, and just grateful to have the opportunity to bring the message, filling in for Pastor Paul, a pastor who I highly appreciate. I meet with him occasionally at our Emerald Pastors meetings, and I just grow in my respect and love for him. Grateful that God sent him to be your pastor. Last time I was here bringing the message was in July. I had a special friend with me, Stephen. Some of you might remember. He brought the reading of the word that morning. We continued to meet regularly together. He had just gotten married. They are now expecting twins, Momo twins. And if you want to Google that, that's a very special, we need to support them in prayer because it's a high-risk twin situation, Momo twins. But in July, who wasn't here was my wife, and I'm glad that she came with me this morning. She was at that point in Guatemala. This last year, she made four trips, three times to Guatemala, one time to Peru, on eye surgery teams, especially doing cataract surgeries, and glad that Hildegard is with me. And we just got back from a wonderful trip to Brazil. Some of you might have heard that we were known as Will and Hill from Brazil. We met and married there some 42 years ago, and it had been 14 years since we were last down. But we went down, and I think the 16th of November, came back on the 6th of December. 3 weeks of wonderful, wonderful visits with the pastors and missionaries and friends in various parts of the state of São Paulo. It was truly a special time. And it was special that during the years serving in Brazil, and then as we came back and worked in Hispanic work and in ethnic Latino work, this was one of our supporting churches. We have pleasant memories of coming to Pleasant Hill to thank you and just appreciated your prayers and financial support during that time. I know you continue to be strong in missions. I'm glad to see in the bulletin the promotion of the upcoming Mission Connection Conference. I brought some materials this morning that will be made available. But there's a great conference coming up this next month of January. About a year and a half ago, I saw a poster really promoting a men's ministry. But on that poster was a little phrase, run well, finish well. And that phrase caught my attention and has been very much in my mind and thoughts really this last year and a half. The Bible speaks various places about running, like in Hebrews 12, where we read, let us run with endurance the race set before us. And it speaks of finishing, like Paul's words in 2 Timothy 4, I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course. Or by Paul too in Acts, he said, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I reserved from the Lord Jesus. I think of these words, run well, finish well, as kind of a life goal and as a daily goal. I want to run well and finish well, life and every day. But today, we're going to modify that, as you've seen in the bulletin, if you've seen the place for your sermon notes, to walk well and finish well. When Paul gave me the opportunity to preach this morning, and somehow this just came to mind and the text. So I used to run a lot. I used to run for North Eugene High School and then ran for years jogging. I loved to run, but probably like some of you, I had to give it up. The body didn't take it. In fact, it was a doctor who encouraged me just before we left Brazil to stop impact kinds of sports and recommend that I get into swimming. So one of my main exercises is lap swimming. I love it. Try to do it 3 times a week. I also walk. I go into the fitness center and treadmill and other machines. I really believe in the value of a physical exercise. Let me ask, how many of you are swimmers? Okay. How many of you are runners? I don't see as many hands. But I see it. Good. How many of you are walkers? Ah, good, good. My wife is an amazing walker. In fact, I can't even keep up with her. I don't, just can't do it. But walking is great. And the Bible speaks of both running and walking, but a lot more about walking, as many of you know. Like in Ephesians, which is where we're going to study this morning. I encourage you to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. A great book. I know it's been studied by hopefully all of you and a lot. You've heard many messages. Many of you have taught. You've been in Bible studies in the book of Ephesians. It's a rich book. Can be remembered in different ways, but one of the ways that I remember the teaching, overall teachings of the book of Ephesians, is by the title of a commentary by Ruth Paxson. And the title is The Wealth, Walk, and Warfare of the Christian. The Wealth, Walk, Warfare of the Christian. So chapters 1, 2, and 3 talk about the wealth of the Christian. Chapters 4 and 5, the walk of the Christian. And chapter 6, the warfare. In Ephesians 1, just taking a moment, Paul doesn't use the word wealth, but he uses riches and talks of our blessings that we have in Christ. Let's just read, let me read verse Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Friends, that's part of our wealth. Wow. But then we read in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And in verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And he uses another spot or two the word riches. But friends, in Christ, those of us who are believers in Christ have a wealth. We are rich. And so Paul focuses on that, our position, our wealth. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, chapters 4 and 5, our walk, and then chapter 6, our warfare. And I know you're familiar with it, but let's read in chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And then he goes in and talks about the full armor and the importance that I've learned, and I trust that many of you too. Daily, I put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, and my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I take the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, Because I have and you have an enemy who does not want us to enjoy our wealth and to walk as we ought to walk. And we need the protection that God has provided. And that is so importantly taught to us in chapter 6. But we're going to look at chapter 4 and 5 this morning, focusing on these two chapters. Walk, the word walk is used five times. In my Bible, I've got the New American Standard. Walk is used in various other translations. It's translated live if you've got the NIV or if you're using the New Living Translation. But when Paul uses the word walk, he's talking about how we live, leading a life, and how should we live in light of our wealth. The first walk that we're going to note is in chapter 4, and I want to read verses 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, I, prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I just want to summarize this point, that the first kind of walk is that we ought to walk worthily. Worthily. It says here, walk in a manner worthy of the calling, of all that we can learn and from chapters 1, 2, and 3. Walk worthily. And he just highlights some of the aspects of a worthy walk. And of course, the list could be much longer, but look in verse 2. Characteristics of a walk that's worthy: there's humility and gentleness and patience, walking with tolerance for one another, walking in love, preserving the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. What a list of what characterizes a worthy walk. I was impressed that our call to worship for today from Micah 6. If you have your bulletin, let's just read together the 8th verse, 6:8, together. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? So the first emphasis in how we should walk is that we walk worthily. Secondly, look in chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. We read this. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. We are to walk not only worthily, we're to walk differently. Different than we walked before we came to know the Lord. Different than those who don't know the Lord. There should be a difference in our lives. And Paul, in these following verses, teaches various things that highlight the kind of difference that believers in Christ should have from their life before Christ or the life of others who don't yet know Christ. Driving up this highway, I was remembering really about 56 years ago. I was a freshman at the University of Oregon, and I came with my dormitory counselor skiing to Willamette Pass, which had some snow at that time, enough to ski. We had a wonderful day. On the way back, I sit in the back of this Volkswagen bus. My counselor, Ted, and his friend, Bill, who was driving, were up front. And then I overheard them talking about the Lord, about Jesus. I don't remember what they talked about, but I do remember sitting in the back of that Volkswagen listening and confused, curious, kind of stimulated. I thought I was a Christian. I went to church. I believed in God. I tried to live a good life. But I sensed something different in the way they were talking about Jesus. So later that evening, I asked my counselor, Ted, what do you mean by being a Christian? And he began to respond. But then he suggested we get together, which we did in a few nights later. Actually went to a German restaurant in town. And he shared what the Bible teaches about how to know God personally, about the love of God and the sinfulness that separates us from God, and how Jesus paid the penalty and is the Savior who offers me and all salvation. And the fourth thing that really caught my attention, the need that I have and people have to personally receive the gift of salvation that God offers me. And as a result of that conversation, that restaurant, I went home and very simply prayed to receive Jesus as my Savior. And I was born again, and I began a new life. And I see that as the most important decision I have ever made, that was stimulated on the road past your church, going skiing, coming back from skiing. But what a difference it is to know Jesus. And I'm grateful to realize that hopefully every one of you is a brother or sister in Christ. If there's any one of you who isn't sure about your salvation, we'd love to talk. If you're stimulated to want to know more, please talk with someone near you or with me. What a wonderful thing it'd be if on the last day of 2017, you got your relationship right with the Lord, and you knew that you were ready to finish well. But God wants us to know Him. He wants us to walk with Him. He wants us to walk differently. We read in verse 25 a little bit about that different walk. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. One of the differences, out of our mouths as believers, truth should come. And we're just in a world filled with the opposite. Or as we read verses 29 and the following, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And we could read on more, but Paul is bringing specific examples of a kind of difference that should be in our life and our lips as we walk with the Lord. The third emphasis on walking we read in chapter 5. So a key verse for walk worthily is verse 1. A key verse for walk differently is verse 17. My Bibles, I have the walk circled there. In fact, it's twice used in 17. Okay, we look in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. We're to walk lovingly, lovingly. Years ago, I heard it, and I still remember it, a definition of God's kind of love, which takes the initiative, even with personal sacrifice, to meet the needs of others. That the people of God are to be walking lovingly. Husbands, very clear in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. And what an example, loving as Jesus loved. But that's a third emphasis in how we are to walk with the Lord. A fourth is in chapter 5, verses 8 and 10. We read, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." There has always been darkness. I think you too are just impressed how much darkness we're experiencing in our nation, in our world in these days, how it just seems to be growing, the growing evil, the growing things that are contrary to the will and word of God. We're to be lights. Lights in the darkness. Not just a dull bulb. We should be bright bulbs in this world where there is so much darkness. So many people walking in darkness, walking without the Lord. We are to walk brightly, brightly. We can get overwhelmed. I was impressed. Hildegard and I were riding with an Uber driver in São Paulo shortly after we arrived there, and just commenting that there's so much evil and bad news in Brazil. There really is. There's tremendous corruption. The people are overwhelmed with all the problems, the insecurity they're facing. But this Uber driver commented, "Yes, there are these problems and they're real, but that's like one Brazilian creating this problem, and yet there are nine that are good people." And just putting it in perspective, we open our newspaper or look on the news, and it's just one bit of bad news after another. But there's a lot of good happening too. And we should be part of the reflection of God's goodness and light and thinking of Philippians 4:8, whatever is true and honest and just and lovely, thinking on these things and sharing in a bright and positive and joyful way as much as we possibly can. To do that, we come to the fifth walk, and we're going to read in verses 15 to 21. Ephesians 5, 15 to 21. "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord." By the way, one of my goals for this new year, I've commented to my wife about, is I want to do more singing. You read about it so much in the Scriptures. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord with song. I do it in church. I love to sing. But this doesn't say just on Sunday morning in church when we got a worship team to lead us. And I want to learn to do more just by myself or with my wife. I got out my guitar and started strumming the other day. But God wants us to praise him. And then always giving thanks, verse 20, "always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and to be subject to one another in the fear of God." Walking wisely, and there's a lot in there, but part of it is that we read in verse 16, using our time well every day. How can our lives best count for Christ? Just thinking we want to be good stewards of our time. Verse 17, to be walking wisely, we need to know and walk in the will of God and do the will of God. A verse that has really impacted my life is John 4:34. Jesus was with a Samaritan woman, came back with his disciples. They said, "Master, eat." And Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Not that he didn't have need for physical food, but what he really longed for, his real nourishment, his real hunger, was to do the will of him who sent me, the will he sent him, the will of God. Not just talk about it, think about it, but to do the will of God who sent him. Jesus very much knew he was a sent one. As you know, repeatedly referred to himself as sent. And then to finish the work. I really believe that that's not just a verse for us to remember about Jesus. It's something that we should increasingly verbalize for ourselves. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. I also am a sent one. And to finish his work. And then in verse 18, Paul writes, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." And we've got a key there of how to do this. We can't walk worthily and differently and lovingly and brightly and wisely in our own strength. We have to be Spirit-filled people. We're to be walking in a supernatural way, which comes when we're cleansed from sin and filled with the Spirit. I want to add another. It's not in Ephesians 5, but I just was reading an article on finishing well by George Sweeting, who you might remember the name. He was a former president, chancellor of Moody Bible Institute, and his brother, Donald, also a president of a seminary. But writing on finishing well, I found this online, and just a little bit of what he writes. "When we use the phrase finishing well, we mean following Christ to the end of our lives, finishing his assignments for us, and hearing his, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.' How do we finish well? What does it take? Let's start with grace. We finish well by the grace of God. That is how we start the race. That is what keeps us in the race. And that's what it takes us to the end. As John Newton put in his famous hymn, 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.' When all is said and done, grace is the ultimate explanation for why any of us make it. We are kept by the grace of God. It is very appropriate to pray, 'Lord, give me the grace to finish well.'" And when I just realize the importance of being filled with the Spirit to do it, I'm just impressed too. It's by God's grace that we're in his family, that we have this day of life, and it's by his grace, by his Spirit, that we will finish well. Well, let me finish this brief study, hopefully well, giving some applications and conclusions. As we finish 2017, how many of us are planning to finish this year today? Okay. Time to thank God for his many blessings. So many of them we take for granted. We fail to thank him. We gave some gifts this Christmas, and some of them we haven't heard any thanks for. And, you know, just on a personal level, it's just kind of, why didn't they thank him? And then I think, well, how many things God gives us we don't thank him for? Time to thank God, evaluate our walk, confess where we need to, and pray that he will help us walk as he wants us to in this new year. And some of you might think, boy, that's so hard. It's got to walk perfectly. And I found this reading, which helped me, and I think it'll help you, from a blog. Bev wrote, "I used to think that walking well with God meant walking perfectly. I have come to learn that there is no such thing as walking perfectly. We can only come to learn how to walk well through whatever life may hold with a perfect God. God has held my hand and has walked with me as I have walked through extreme joy, extreme sadness, through fear and doubt, and even through the valley of the shadow of death. He calls us to just keep putting one foot in front of the other and keep walking with Him." In light of the wealth we have in Christ, what are five ways that we should walk? Let's just review this. What's the first way? Worthily. Huh? Differently. Lovingly. Brightly. Wisely. Okay. What are key verses for these? These all come from what chapters? Ephesians 4 and 5. What's the key verse for walking worthily? 4:1. Walking differently. 4:17. Walking lovingly. Chapter 5, verse 2. Walking brightly. 5:8. And walking wisely. 5:15. Often I pray with these five words in mind, just personally. Lord, help me to walk worthily, differently, lovingly, brightly, wisely. You know, and there's a lot in it, especially when you understand it in its context. And there are many other words you could use of how we should walk, but I found this little list of five to be very helpful. It's also a helpful list as we pray for our spouse, or as we pray for our children, or as we pray for others. Lord, help them to walk worthily, differently, lovingly, brightly, and wisely. Walk well and finish well. I think it's a good goal for a year, for each day, and for life. How many of you agree? Let's repeat it together. Walk well, finish well. Walk well, finish well. I encourage you to reflect on these things, and if possible, share them with someone else, even today or in these days. An amazing increased learning we experience when we pass things on to others. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and finish His work." And we are all sent ones. Jesus said, "I, as the Father sent me, so send I you." And let's go out of here with a desire to help others know Christ, walk with Christ, and finish well. After swimming or in the fitness center at River Road Park, I'm often coming out at 6 o'clock in the morning. I turn on family radio and I hear Dr. Bob Cook. He starts off, "Dear radio friends," and then has a beautiful study. He's a Bible, he's a Moody Bible man, and a tremendous ministry. He's now with the Lord. And then he concludes his words, practically always, "Now walk with a king today and be a blessing. Walk with a king and be a blessing." And that's a good assignment for us all. I want to pray again, and then Julie is going to play a song which I think is very appropriate, fitting to what we've been talking about. It's about finishing well. And here, just some of the words of this song. How glorious that moment to see him face to face, to hear him say, "Well done, my child, you've finished your race. But for now, the sun's still shining. There's work to still be done while we're waiting for the promise of what is yet to come. Finish well every day that we are given. Finish well for the glory of his name. Finish strong until the Savior finally calls us home. Give it everything we have. Finish well." There's no truth in saying we've seen our better days. These are the days to be courageous, bold, and full of faith. So wherever he may lead us, whatever it may cost, let the church arise and lift the banner of the cross. Finish well. We're going to hear Becky, or Karen Peck and the New River sing this. And I think you're going to find it good, as I do.